The Bible says in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located in Vilas, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. I'd like to invite you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We are currently going through the book of Colossians on Wednesday night. That starts at 7 o'clock. We have a time of prayer and then a time of Bible study. Then our Sunday morning services, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, classes for all ages, preaching service at 11, second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. And so we would love to invite you to come out and be with us in our services. I'd like to say good morning to Noah. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. We missed you last week. I told you happy birthday, but I don't think you heard it. But anyway, we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
You had a good time and safe trip. I'm thankful for that. Did you do anything special?
We went to Cedar Point in Cleveland, Ohio, and rode the tallest roller coaster in the world, I believe.
Really?
That was cool.
Was it bigger than the one at Tweety?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just by a little bit.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're glad you're back today. And let me make a couple of announcements before we get started today. I need to do this right off the bat or I'll forget. One, there will be a benefit singing for Bobby McGee. He is involved in a prison ministry and doing a good work there. They're going to have a singing to benefit that ministry this Saturday night at Willowdale Baptist Church at 6 p.m., and that's this Saturday. And also the monthly youth meeting. This is at Westside Baptist Church. This will be this Saturday night, August the 20th at 6 p.m. Brother Bill Conrad is going to be preaching in the service there. Brother Bill is out of our church at Mount Lebanon. We appreciate him and Sister Sharon and the good work they do with the young people. They have a great burden for the young people of our county, and we appreciate what they do very, very much. Now, last week, we finished up a project that I had started. I guess you could call it a project. I don't know, teaching, a series. Actually, it'd be a series, but actually, I got to looking back in my notes, and I started that the first week in December of 2010. So since then, December all the way and the month of August, we are right now halfway through the month of August. Last week, we finished that up. The 28 founding principles as found in the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. And we took each of those 28 principles. Now, the book does not do it this way, but I took those 28 principles and we went through one by one and looked at each one and we seen if there was a scriptural principle. And without a doubt, each one had a scriptural principle, a scriptural basis. We could take those principles and say, this is what the Bible says about it. We took a scriptural principle, a historical example, and then tried to make a present-day application. And today what I want to do, as I've already announced, I want to go back through those 28 principles and just make some closing comments. Now, I seen right off the bat as I was studying for this radio broadcast that there's no way I could go through one by one. If I spent a minute on each one, that would be the totality of the time that we have. So I'm not going to be able to do that. I do want to list some of the major principles that we have looked at over the last 8 or 9 months. The very first principle that we studied was natural law. Natural law is equal to God's law. Our founders referred to natural law, that we have certain unalienable rights given to us by our Creator. This was a reference to natural law. The first principle was the only reliable basis for sound government is natural law. Our laws are based upon the laws of God's Word that we find in the Bible. Natural law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Those are examples of natural law. Different societies, whether they have the Bible or not, God has put within each creature a knowledge that there are certain things that are right, and there are certain things that are wrong. Natural law, God's law, put within the heart of man. That was the first principle we looked at. The second one, a free people cannot survive under a republican constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. Our leaders said that our constitution was for a virtuous and a moral people. It would be totally unsuitable for any other group of people. The importance placed by our founders on virtue and morality. We looked at the third principle, the importance of a virtuous leadership, electing those into power who were virtuous and moral. The importance and the role of religion, we looked at that. Our founders were not afraid to bow their heads and pray. They were not afraid to call for a day of fasting and prayer, to call upon the God of the Bible to help them, to give them wisdom, to deliver them. Many examples of that can be given from history, not to mention just go anywhere in our country and see the references to the Ten Commandments, prayer, dedication, thanks. Lots of examples could be given there. We talked about the role of the Creator, and that is referred to in the Declaration of Independence as well. We talked about certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We talked about the principle of the sovereignty of the people in our government. We, the people, have the last say. The whole body of the people has a say in the direction and the voice of the government. We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We the people are important. We looked at America shall be a republic, not a democracy. We spent some time talking about the difference between the two. Democracies have been around for thousands and thousands of years. They have never worked. They devolve into a mobocracy, just, mob rule. A republican form of government is a government based on the rule of law, and America is a republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. We looked at the importance of a written constitution. Constitution is there for the protection of the people from the government and also the preservation of their liberties, that we would have a written constitution. We looked at the principle of the free market system and how important that is in America and how that exalted our nation and made us more prosperous than any other nation in the world. A free market system with a minimum of government regulations. That was the 15th principle. The 19th principle was the importance of a limited federal government. Of course, today we have a federal government that is completely unlimited, reaches into every area of our lives. There's nothing that we do that is not in some way regulated or touched by the federal government, even the air that you breathe. And everything is regulated. The federal government is huge. Our founders would roll over in their graves if they came back and seen what it had morphed into, the limited federal government. The 21st principle was the principle of a strong local self-government. The 24th principle, a strong national defense. If we're going to remain free, we must have a strong national defense. I read an article just recently in an American Legion magazine that I get, and it talked about America's decaying nuclear arms. Most of them are 30 years old. They're out of date. We don't know if they'd work. Yes, we have a very large military, but we are inserted in so many different countries in the world trying to be the world's police. And actually, if we were attacked, we are in a place of weakness, not strength. If we were attacked from outside on the shores of America, the 25th principle that we looked at was trade with all, entangling alliances with none. Trade with everybody. Be friends with everybody that we can, but have no entangling alliances. Well, we are entangled, and it wouldn't take long to prove that, all over the globe with several different countries. We're fighting their wars, policing their shores, running out their bad guys, and really it means nothing to us. For example, what about the country of Libya and our military involvement there and our missiles and our technology? And they are no threat to us whatsoever. The case has been made many times that it's completely unconstitutional that we're involved in the country of Libya, yet we're doing that for who? For other people. Anyway, we must go on. The proper role of government is to protect the integrity of the family. That was the 26th principle. The 27th principle was the burden of debt. There's two ways for a nation to fall. One is to be attacked from the outside. The other one is to be made subjects by being enslaved by our indebtedness. We are a long ways down that road in America today. So we looked at more than that. That's just some of the highlights that I wanted to pick out and make just a little comment about today. But every one of those 28 principles have a positive scriptural foundation. What I mean, once again, by that, we could take those principles and say they're biblical. There's a scriptural principle. There's a biblical basis for what we do in this area, principle number one, principle number two, right on down the line. I wanted to share a paragraph or two from the 5,000-year leap from the beginning of the book and the introduction to these 28 principles, and it says on page number 5, there was hardly a single idea which the American founding fathers put into their formula that someone hadn't thought of before. However, the singularity of it all was the fact that in 1787, when the Constitution was being written, none of those ideas was being substantially practiced anywhere in the world. It was in America that the founding fathers assembled the 28 great ideas that produced the dynamic success formula, which proved such a sensational blessing to modern man. It says on the next page, not only did it change the United States, but within a few years, it aroused the admiration of the whole world. Experience proved these principles were sound. They are sound today. In our modern space age of Third Encounters and Superman, the founders' thinking may sound terribly old-fashioned and even pre-Victorian, but their principles have the advantage of an impressive track record of empirical proof that they are practical and true. Eternally true. That is their primary credential, that these 28 principles are practical and true. And then it says, there's a dash there, eternally true. And so we have a reference there to the Word of God. Now, I've been thinking about these principles as pillars. A pillar is a column that holds up a building. You know, we don't build our houses with pillars. You think about a coliseum, you think about a courthouse, you think about a sporting event or something like that. You think about ancient Rome and their coliseums that they had. I've been thinking about these principles as pillars or columns in a building. And what got me thinking about this, we had a preacher come a few weeks ago to Mount Lebanon, and he preached a message on pillars or pillows. And of course, he was talking about in the context of the church, but I got to thinking about it in the larger context of our nation and these 28 founding principles. They are really pillars in our society. For example, Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I looked up that word in the Hebrew language, and that word foundations there, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The word foundations there means a basis that is figuratively political or moral support. If our political foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If our moral foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what the Bible is asking the question of there. Another example could be out of Proverbs chapter 9 in verse number 1. The Bible says over there, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." And the word pillars there, it means column, a standing column. And it's talking about the house of wisdom has seven pillars, seven columns that holds it up. And then I wanted to read over in Judges chapter number 16. And I want to read this to illustrate what I'm the point I'd like to get across today. Judges chapter number 16. And verse number 25, this is when Samson, at the very end of his life, some of you know about Samson and what happened in his life, but I'm going to read a few verses here because it has to do with pillars. The Bible says in Judges 16 and verse 25, "And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." There's that word. Verse 26, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there was upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And verse 29 said, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." And so we read there in the Word of God the story about Samson and how that the young lad, of course, by then Samson had been made a slave. He worked at a mill house. His eyes had been put out, but they brought him up there to make sport of him, to make fun of him. And we read there where the young lad directed his hands upon the two pillars, which the Bible says borne up the house. They held up the house, and he prayed, and God gave him strength one more time, and he pushed out those two pillars, and the whole house fell down, which the house was a large, we would refer to it as a palace. And the Bible said that 3,000 men and women were on the roof of that house or that coliseum, that sporting event there, where they were making fun of him. And the whole thing fell down, and he killed more in his death than he did in his life. But the principle that I want to point out there is that just two pillars being pushed out of place brought down the whole house and killed thousands and thousands of people. Now, here's what I did last week, and especially yesterday. I made a list of the 28 great ideas, the 28 founding principles that we found in the book, the 5,000 Year Leap. And on the left, I listed all of those principles. To the right, I made three columns, and I would check in one of those boxes. One of those columns, I put sound. And I looked at this as if I was making an inspection on these 28 principles. And so I put a box for if I come across and I found a sound principle, nothing decayed or wrong in that principle, I had another box that I put unsound, and then I had another box that I put fallen. This pillar is fallen to the ground. And I went down through there one by one. I went back through the book. I reviewed. I read. I looked at these principles. And when I got done, here's what I found. And I will go ahead and say somebody else may judge things a little differently than I would, but I'm the one that's done the principle study here and had the notes and read the book several times now, through and through. And so I think I could make a pretty good case for the judgment that I made on this. But here's what I found. Under sound principles, I found zero. Under unsound pillars, if we look down through there, I found 11 that were maybes. I mean, they're not completely fallen, but they're not in good shape either. And then I found 17 that I put a check next to them that these principles were fallen down to the ground. Now, as I say, somebody else may look at it a little differently, but I believe I could make a pretty good case. I just went down once again this morning, virtuous moral leadership for the most part. Gone. I mean, you just look at what goes on in Washington, the dealing, the scandals, and by and large, I'm referring to Washington, but it's also in the local, the state level as well. The role of religion, I mean, God is pretty much outlawed in our society. No prayer in school, no Bible reading in school. If, I mean, last couple of years, the president hasn't even went to the National Day of Prayer. It's not even important. Oh, there's a show and, you know, a little bit of lip service here and there, but no real sincerity for the most part. The role of the Creator. Well, you mention God a lot of places. You'll end up in court. We the people, the principle that we have the say, you know, we can vote and elect, and you send somebody up there to do something different, and they pretty much do the same old thing over and over. It takes a lot to turn this big ship around. The Constitution, the Republic. If you really study, and I've said this before, as I have studied this, probably about halfway through it, I realized that I was not only studying the history of America, but what I had found was what would be classified, I believe, as a crime scene. What has been done to our republic? What has been done to our United States Constitution? It's trampled upon. It's forgot about. I forget which one. I think it might have been Ron Paul who said that politicians today, they forget about the Constitution as soon as they put down their hand where they swear that they're going to uphold the Constitution, and they start breaking it as soon as they put their hand down. The minimum of government regulations, that's gone. Limited government, gone. Government by law and not the whims of men, that's gone. National defense is gone. Entangling alliances is gone. The subject of debt, we are so far in debt, so subservient to so many other countries that it's amazing. It's unbelievable almost to think about the shape that our country is in. And so if 17 out of 28 founding principles are fallen, that is almost two-thirds of our founding principles are totally gone. The other 11 could go at any minute. See, they are all tied in together. That's how pillars in a building are. That's how columns are in a structure. They're all tied in together. They all have a certain part that they're supposed to hold up. And you go knocking them down, it's not going to be long until the whole house falls to the ground. I thought about it like this. If America was a building, she would be condemned. she would be unsafe to even be in. If you had no sound structure, if you had 17 pillars that were falling down and 11 that were unsound, she would be condemned. If America was a car, she couldn't even get an inspection sticker to get back on the road again. If America was a horse, she'd be shot. She got four legs that are broke, not just one. And we could go on, and I guess maybe you could think of something as well also. But America is like the church of Laodicea. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 17 that they said, this was the attitude of the church at Laodicea, they said to the Lord, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And that's how a lot of people are in America today. Why, we're fine. Let's just keep spending and giving and going and fighting other people's wars and all of these things. Why, we're rich. We've got plenty of goods, cars, gas, grocery stores full, whatever you might think of. A lot of people don't even realize the depth of our problem. But the Lord said to that church, and they didn't even know it, but the Lord said to them that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I'll tell you, if you really look at what's going on in America today, it's not a pretty picture at all. But there is some good news, and I want to share this with you before we go off the air today. When Brother Byram came and preached that message on the pillars, one of the points that he made, and he talked also about pillars that would fall down. He gave the illustration of a Roman Colosseum. Everybody's seen the ruins over there of the great Colosseums of the past. And he said, if you've ever seen a picture, you'll notice there that those pillars, although they may have fallen down and the roof is gone and they're actually referred to as ruins, he said, if you notice those pillars, they don't blow away. They're still there. They're just laying on the ground. And the good thing about a pillar is that it's so solid and its construction is so good in the original that if you get the right equipment in there, you can actually hoist that column or that pillar back into its proper place. It doesn't go away. It just falls down. And so when we think about that in relation to these 28 founding principles, they're still good. There's nothing in the world wrong with them. They're still there. They just need to be put back in their proper place. And I want to say, as we close today, the government, if we look to the government to do that, it'll never get done. Things get worse and worse and worse. I was talking with somebody yesterday. We were talking about this arguing back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans and what they're going to do about the great debt in this country. I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to argue back and forth until the whole thing falls down and gives up the ghost and dies, and then there'll not be anything for anybody. The whole thing, they'll just argue till our country dies. The answer is not in the politicians. It is not in Washington, D.C. It is where it's always been. It is in the people. And among the people, we need so bad in this country a spiritual revival. That's what birthed us in the first place. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We need a spiritual revival. We need a moral revival. We need a revival of these principles that made us great to begin with. It does look dark, but I believe it is possible. I preached out of the book of Jonah last Sunday, and one of the things about Jonah went to Nineveh, and he preached, yet 40 days, and she's going to fall. But there's a verse in chapter 3 and verse 5 that said, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Boy, if we could get there in this country today, it'd help us a whole lot. I read something a while back. It said, revival or ruin, it's one or the other. So there's always hope as long as we don't discount the Lord and what He's able to do. Noah's going to come and give us the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to come visit. We desire your prayers. Thank you for listening in. Noah, go ahead and give us some contact information there.
Yes, sir. This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mountlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.